Never, never, never lose your zeal for the kingdom of God. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you're starting to feel overwhelmed by all your responsibilities, duties, obligations, please remember to laugh. Laughter is pain turned inside out. Laughter is a shock absorber of life's hard knocks. Laughter is internal jogging. Laughter just brings all kind of oxygen to our lungs when we get reinvigorated. You don't stop laughing because you've grown old. You've grown old because you stop laughing. And you don't laugh because you necessarily feel good. You feel good because you laugh, because laughter releases natural painkillers called endorphins, and that's medically proven. You know, in getting back to your responsibilities and duties, when you allow them to overwhelm you, what's going on there? Are you starting to think that you're the only one who can do this? Are you starting to suffer from the Messiah complex? You know that 20 years from now, all those things you worry about, they're not going to make a difference. The majority of them won't. You know, don't get all tied up in knots because you have all these things you have to accomplish and you're starting to feel real edgy. That'll take some of your energy away from the way you have to focus to get your obligations fulfilled. It'll get you edgy with the people you work with. You'll take it home and take it out on your families. Just calm down, okay? Laugh. Tell a joke. Read something funny. Get somebody else to make you laugh. Laughter is a real, real tranquilizer, and it has no side effects. The scripture passage that I want to share with you today is from John's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a marketplace?" And then verse 17 says, "His disciples remembered that it is written, 'Zeal for your house will consume you.'" Into the scripture passage. Well, I don't know how you feel about that passage. It shows a side of Jesus that is strong, huh? It shows that anger can be justified sometimes. It shows that Jesus really feels strongly that God's house has to be a house of prayer. Zeal for your house will consume me. Now, we are very, very concerned about religious fanatics right now. Those who commit acts of terror in the name of God. And so much of our society is easily turned off by religious fanaticism. We're almost afraid of zealots, and yet we hear, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Zeal, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means intense enthusiasm. Intense enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, as you probably know, comes from two Greek words, God in us. So it's that God principle in us that creates a zeal for justice, creates a zeal for a hunger for God, it creates a zeal to consistently keep our commitments. I want to make a distinction between the type of zeal that Jesus showed and the type of zeal that a religious terrorist might show. I'm almost hesitant to put those two words together because I don't think any religion can justify terrorism. But nonetheless, here's the distinction I want to make. I think the kind of zeal that Jesus showed is zeal, intense enthusiasm, plus love. Love for his father's house. Love for the poor people who were being ripped off by the money changers and those sowing doves in the temple. Even love for the people that he chased out of the temple so that they could come to their senses. In that case, we'd call it tough love, right? And we know a lot about tough love these days because often parents have to use tough love on their children. You know, contrast that zeal plus love and zeal plus hate. Because a lot of these quote-unquote religious zealots who are doing acts of violence really do hate. It's not out of love that they do that. It's out of hate. They hate the people. You can't blow up innocent people and love them. And if you call it love, you have the most warped sense of love that a person can have. You have the most warped definition of love. And even when they say they do it for their God, they're not really communicating with God. They're not listening intensely. They're selectively quoting some holy book. So I think that we can talk about zeal in a way that can keep us calm during the discussion. I think we're meant to have a zeal. Okay, maybe it'll be helpful here if I can change the word to passion. Now we know that passion can destroy people if it's used in the wrong way. But we often say they have a passion. For example, you see it during the football season, a passion. A lot of people have a passion for a football game, a certain football team. Have a passion for something. And I think what we're saying is they're willing, this man or woman is willing to invest a lot of time and energy into pursuing, being a fan, following a team. They have a passion for becoming good at a sport themselves, so they spend hours, long hours in training. They have a passion to perform to their best. So whether you want to call it zeal or passion, if we truly call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, should we not have a similar zeal or passion? I mean, Jesus had a passion for us. I mean, literally, we call it his death, his passion, death, and resurrection. When he suffered, when he laid down his life for us, whom he calls friends, when he saves us from the dark side, when he saves us from our sins, Jesus had a passion for us. Does anybody have a passion for Jesus? I don't think that you can afford to be lukewarm in the way you pursue your Christian vocation. I think there has to be some level of fire there, some type of passion. There has to be some zeal. I remember hearing about an interview with that was done in Italy, and some Italian people were asked about their religious beliefs. And the one response, very interesting and somewhat witty, when asked about the religion, the person said, well, we're Italians, we're Catholics. So the person who was interviewing this person said, well, then you go to church every Sunday? No. Do you go once a month? No. He said, remember, I said we are Catholics, we're not fanatics. So I guess we can play with this word and mean it in a variety of ways. But you know, we need to have a zeal for building the kingdom. If you've been confirmed, which in the Catholic Church is your adult stance now, your adult commitment, then we need to spread the word. We need to live it dynamically. We need to show people the difference it makes in our life. And we need to do that with zeal, not with ho-hum, not with indifference. It's a challenge. Take the challenge, okay? You know who our prayer partners are today? Surgeons. These are the people who operate on bodies, opening up the bodies, trying to cut out the disease, trying to fix the hip or the knee, trying to do a transplant. Spend years and years in training. Please pray for surgeons today. May God guide them. Our food for thought today comes from Peter O'Rourke, P.J. O'Rourke. He writes, worrying is less work than doing something to fix the worry. Everybody wants to save the earth. Nobody wants to help mom with the dishes. That's a cute, funny example. But, you know, let's just not sit around and worry. Let's do something to fix the worry. Today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh is a true story written by a man named Steve Callahan. He writes, I had been teaching my seventh graders about World War II, and a test question was, what was the largest amphibious assault of all time? And I was expecting to see, as the answer, the D-Day invasion. But on one paper, I found the following answer. Moses and the Plague of Frogs. You know, the largest amphibious assault of all time. I wonder if that student was trying to be funny. Whether he was trying to be funny or not, his answer certainly is funny. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you. Come on, take a moment. Drop me a note. Let me know how much the program has been helpful. I hope it's been helpful. I'm sitting here recording this in a studio all by myself. No audience, no faces in front of me. So I'd like to hear from my listeners. You can send me your prayer intentions. You know, we're meant to pray for each other, and I will pray for you, and I will ask God to bless you and work powerfully in your lives or in the person's life that you're wanting me to pray for. You can always let me know if you want to get my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. There's no charge for it. It tells you where I'm preaching in case you'd like to see me up close and personally instead of just hearing my voice on the radio. Occasionally people say to me, you have a much younger voice than you really are. I know I have a young sounding voice. You know what I'd like you to do for me? Would you please reach out to help the poor that I'm trying to help, the poor and sick in Oaxaca, Mexico? Write a check to TASH, T-A-S-H. Stands for the Anacito Hospital, and send it to me, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.